Thank you, Jeanette.
It amazes me how God works in these songs. You know, the what you choose to sing and my topic for the day. It's just amazing. But if you go to Matthew 7, it's my pleasure to be here with you to teach God's word this morning. Earl and Nancy are on travel for spring break, and I'm real thankful I get to share. So Matthew 7, we'll start there. And my name is Kevin Browning, in case you don't know. I think everyone here knows, but maybe not online. So Matthew 7, verse 21. These scriptures that we're going to talk about this morning are near and dear to our hearts. Mostly, they're very simple scriptures. But you know, as we go through life, sometimes we're all in different stages of life, and it's really fun to go back and just look at some of these simple truths in God's Word. It's not going to be anything complicated this morning. But hopefully it will be a blessing. So Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord," this is Jesus Christ talking, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." You know, it's one thing to hear God's word and another right to actually take action on God's word and stake your life on God's word and believe God's word to the best of your ability and mind. But he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a what?
A rock.
And we all go back to Children's Fellowship and remember that wonderful song, "The wise man built his house upon a rock." I can't even do this. I should have practiced this morning. But you know how true it is, right? And you know, Jesus Christ here is talking about entering into the kingdom of heaven, which when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you become part of the kingdom of heaven. You are born again of God's Spirit. You are a child of God. And how wonderful that is. And so certainly we've done that. Certainly those online have done that. And it's a priceless thing for one to do, right? There's nothing that can take that away from you or me. We have trials in life. Each one of us has different kinds of trials in life. And yet, at the end of the day, we're born again of God's Spirit. At the end of the day, we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. How comforting is that, right? "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew," and sometimes they do blow, don't they? "And beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Does God's word say that there'll never be trials and tribulations, that there'll never be storms that beat upon your house or mine? No. God, because we live in this world, and that, as you all know, we have an adversary. But when you build your house upon the rock of God's word, upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to collapse. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And of course, this is not just talking about this life. This is talking about the next one too. Kingdom of heaven, right? And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But isn't that a wonderful record? It really gives you a mind picture of how important God's word is to a person's life, of hearing it, but then also doing it. Look at Proverbs 19. And are we going to be perfect in doing it? No. Am I? No. You know, isn't that also comforting to know?
Yes.
We don't have to be. But Proverbs 19, verse 20. But we can be resilient. We can, when we get knocked down, we can get right back up, you know, because we know we're righteous. We know we're forgiven. We know we're sanctified. We know we're redeemed. We know all of these things. We know we have the hope of Christ's return. So, perfect? No. But can we get right back up? Yes. We sure can. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. God's word, when believed, works. You know, God's word will never let a person down when believed. You know, how wonderful that is. You know, you can receive counsel from so many people, so many other people, so many books, so many ways to receive counsel, and yet it's the wonderful word of God that actually stands, because God backs up his word. The word heart here is the innermost part of the mind, the depth of your being. Look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, and these are just verses that I think about when I, when I just need to set my heart right. And Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Look how important it is to God. Is it important to the world? Do people think that they're building their house upon a rock by hearing and doing God's word these days? For the most part, no. The majority, no. It's not a popular opinion, you know. Most people think they're building their house upon a rock by doing some of the things that Jeanette's song just said, right? Isn't that true? So you can never go by the world, right, to agree with, you know, how you're hearing and doing God's word and believing God's word. But look how important it is to God. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Why does he say that if it's not important, right? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Wow. You know, there are many things that people don't let depart from their eyes. Sports is one, you know. I know many people that are just sports fanatics, and they're thinking and all the time about their team or sports or You know, you get the message here. This is, you know, God's word wants us to have that same focus on his word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them or guard them. Put them there. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It must make a difference. By thinking God's word, by putting it on in your mind, in my mind, it must make a big difference from a health point of view. Because it says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, and this word keep is guard. Guard your heart. Guard the innermost part of your mind, what you're thinking about. Keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And, you know, this is, it's not like a hardship to do that. You know, God's word is good news. God's word brings joy. It brings peace. It brings, you know, so many good things to our lives. And all God is saying is, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What other single thing in life does that?
Nothing.
There's no other single thing that can bring a person true joy, true peace. Right? And God knows that, and that's why he says to do it. Sometimes I forget to do it, but, you know, I try to, you know, we can all just get better and better as we at doing it and remembering how important it is to do it, to put God's word, to think about God's word. It brings comfort. It brings deliverance. It brings peace and joy to a person's life. It brings direction, and it brings hope. Psalm 107. Verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what?
Good.
It's a good thing that he's good. For his mercy endureth for a few minutes?
Nope.
No, forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He sure has. And gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. And, of course, this is talking about the children of Israel. And how much more God would do for his children, you know. The children of Israel, you can read in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, you know, God wanted fellowship. God wanted them to put him first, and so many times they just turned their back on God, and yet he was still merciful. He was still kind. He was still loving. He was still a God of deliverance, and so how about us, you know? Of course he's going to be those things. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. You ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
I think we all have. For he satisfies the longing soul. Is there anything that you can go by that can do that? No, I don't think so. You know, God is able to satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that's, Those are people that the adversary has pushed down with his thumb and has made them sit there in darkness, you know. And God is able to deliver anyone, you know. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. There's no freedom in doing it the other way. Doing it the adversary's way, there's no freedom. There's only bondage. There's only heartache. Why? Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. And you can read all of that in the Old Testament. But verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. That's our God. He can do that for anybody. He has done that for us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Anyway, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What a great verse. That great verse, Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them. It's a healing word. It heals the mind. And as people put those thoughts on instead of the thoughts of what the adversary wants us to think about, then it's healing to our mind. And we bury that word of God, that wonderful word of God, in our heart. Look at Jeremiah 15. Verse 16, one of my favorite verses. I come here often. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah, you know, in Jeremiah's time, the word had been lost. It had been buried. And this was a time when they found God's word in the rubble. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. It's a heart thing. And as we put the right stuff in our heart, you know, in our mind, as we think about God's word, so much that we put it in our heart, then it's going to bring joy. It's going to bring rejoicing as we think about it again. And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, all of you, because you've done that, you know. You think about a verse and it just brings joy to your soul, you know. You think about a promise from God's word. You remember a prayer that was answered, that was in a particularly trying time for you. And it just brings joy, you know, because you can't buy this stuff, you know. You can't find it, you can't buy it outside of God's word. So why study, why fellowship, why go to classes and learn and continue to grow, to put those thoughts on in your heart. And so, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Amen. There's such a benefit to knowing certain scriptures that bless your soul, because the winds will come, the floods will come, you know, and beat up on that house, you know. And you know it will, you know, but we have a God that's bigger than any circumstance. Look at, I think of scriptures like Isaiah 1. Let's go there for a second. verse 18, come now and let us reason together. And that means let us put the matter of sin right. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as what?
Snow.
How much comfort does that bring a person when they know that, yeah, they're not perfect, but they're forgiven, you know? What a Lord and Savior we have, you know? This is a prophecy talking about what he would accomplish. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How much of a load does that take off a person's shoulders when you read that verse? First John, you know, I love this one too. All of you all know these verses, right? So, First John, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, technon is that word, children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You ever wonder why not everybody wants to get on the same bandwagon as you with regards to the scriptures and learning the word and manifesting Holy Spirit? Well, this is the reason, you know, because you've changed kingdoms, you know, and you are a child of God, you know. They aren't. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, we're not going to get treated any better than Jesus Christ was treated, you know. You know, maybe we are treated a little bit better because, you know, he was actually crucified. But, you know, they're not going to treat us, the world isn't going to treat us well either, is, I guess, my point, you know. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That wonderful hope. It's awesome. Look at 1 Peter 5. I think we're still doing pretty good on time. 1 Peter 5. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I'd certainly rather do that than humble myself under anybody else. Right? You know, God Almighty, okay, I can humble myself, you know. You know, I can realize that I don't have all the answers, you know, and that I need to go to God's Word to get them, you know. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Right now, he cares for you. Right now, your sins are white as snow. Right now, he cares for you. Right now, you're a son of God, a child of God. We don't have to wait. We know. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, and by the way, be sober. Be vigilant. You know, we have to do that. That's another reason to bury God's word in your heart. Is because we have an adversary, right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy people's lives. That's our adversary. That's our enemy. And it's real. Be sober, be vigilant. Well, that's going to take some effort. you know, for each person. Each person has to be sober and vigilant. Whom resist, you know, look at these exhortations to resist, to be sober, to be vigilant, to resist, steadfast in believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We can do that. God would not ask us to do something we cannot do. No matter what the circumstance, we can be we can be steadfast in our believing because we've buried God's word in our heart. And that's why it's so important to do that, to bury God's word in our heart so that we can resist, so that we do not get fooled in whom resist steadfast in believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Look at Luke 8. But that, you know, it's a good reminder, right? We do have an adversary that doesn't want us to know God's word, doesn't want us to do God's word. And we can be sober, vigilant, stubborn, if you want to use that word, to say, well, I don't care what he wants. I'm going to do it, you know, and we just do our best. But Luke 8, you cannot lose by doing God's word, by going that direction versus the adversary's direction. Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And you can visualize a farmer scattering seed, right? And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he, Jesus Christ, had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? That was a good thing for them to do. What are you talking about? What does it mean? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, and Jesus Christ is going to explain what it is. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their what?
Hearts.
Lest they should believe and be saved. And you know, he's going to talk about the four responses to God's word. When once a person gets God's word, hears God's word, this is the first response that can't, one of the four scenarios that can happen. The devil taketh away the word. See, the adversary doesn't want us to have God's word. It doesn't want anyone to hear it and to do it. So the second one is verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And you know, I was digging up my yard the other day, and there were so many rocks, and it just reminded me of this parable. You know, because seed does not grow when you have rocks underneath the dirt, you know. You just have a big brown spot, you know. And so you have to get out there with your pick, and you have to pick all those rocks out. And I must have picked out 300 rocks, you know. But it just gives you a good visual, right? They on a rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. You can't have root with a bed of rocks, right? Which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's number three. But they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what with it? Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Isn't that something? And really, it's not all or nothing. It's we decide every day what kind of ground we want to be, you know, and we work at it. We till it. We take care of, you know, we try to make sure that and every person has the free will to choose on what they're going to do with God's word once they hear it. But there's so many benefits to being, to tilling your ground and to do your best to continue to put that wonderful word of God on in your heart. And it's a day by day thing, as we know. Not telling you something you don't know. But it's simple, but it's so true. And it's so important. Victory is a thought away, you know. Have you ever heard that? Victory is a thought away. You know, you can't always help thoughts from going into your head, you know, during the course of a day. But you can determine how long you're going to keep them in your head. And you replace them with what you've learned from God's word, you know. So, to close, Ephesians chapter 6. God has a way of summarizing things pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, Ephesians, I was just thinking about these simple truths that are just that changed my life, you know, that and continue to as I do my best to put that word of God on in my head. So Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not about the adversary. You know, it's about our God that's stronger than the adversary. And God's word encourages us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the power of his might that we have on the inside. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. It's important. It's a spiritual fight. And we are in the middle of it. And God's word is so, so very important to think about and to put on in your heart. He'll distract people with anything else as long as you don't put God's word on in your heart. Why? Because that's powerful, right? That you may be able to stand against the methods of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I think sometimes people forget that that's what the fight is really about. We have an adversary that wants to steal, kill, destroy. We have a God that wants to deliver us constantly and bring us joy and peace and all the wonderful things. And our God is bigger than the adversary. But we have to put on God's word. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and that's right now, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And for that to happen, we all have to be putting in, you know, some time in to learn God's word, right? And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of believing, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's by believing. Believing comes by hearing the word of God. You believe from your heart as you put that word of God on in your heart. And it's believing wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Isn't that something? And then, of course, praying is a big deal too. Next verse. Praying always with all prayer and specific request in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And this is praying in the Spirit, okay? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What a wonderful section. So, in closing, I was just thinking, of course, of the wise man who built his house upon a rock, brick by brick, thought by thought. We put that in our heart. And then, you know, we are able to stand, you know, in this day and time. And we have so much to be thankful for along the way. And we can choose to be good ground every single day. We can choose that it's important to us to be that. So thank you for being here this morning, both here and online. I'll go ahead and pray, and then we can close out. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful morning that we have to be together. Thank you, Father, that you have given us so much in Christ Jesus, that you've made our sins white as snow, that you've forgiven us, you've made us righteous, you've given us joy and peace in believing your word, and you've given us a wonderful hope to look forward to. How thankful we are, and how we can continue to build brick by brick, thought by thought, every single time, day, putting on your word into our heart so that we can have what we need to stand successfully in this day and time. Thank you for each person here and for a great week ahead for each person. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.